This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. Today's podcast is being recorded in the offices of Raider Solutions. Raider creates and maintains technical strategies for businesses of all sizes across the country, as well as right here in Lafayette, functioning as their complete IT department. Raider's motto is, "You just want it to work, we understand." If you're wondering if Raider can help your business, please visit RaiderSolutions.com. I'm very proud to welcome Iberia Bank as Discover Lafayette's premier sponsor. Founded in 1887, Iberia Bank is the largest bank based in Louisiana and is headquartered here in Lafayette. With 329 combined locations throughout the South, they offer the resources of a national bank with the personal touch of a community bank. Iberia Bank supports educational, cultural, and business development efforts that make a difference in the many communities they serve, including sponsoring this podcast. For more information, please visit iberiabank.com. Today's guest is Casey Thompson, Executive Director of the Hospice of Acadiana Foundation. Many of us are familiar with the concept of hospice, but don't know much about the mechanics of when a patient is ready for end-of-life care or how the cost of services is covered. In Acadiana, we've been fortunate to have had the leadership of the beloved Father Louis Richard in bringing hospice to our region. Following the death of his grandmother while he was a seminarian studying in Belgium, Lafayette native Father Louis Richard spent a summer working at St. Christopher's House near London with British physician Dr. Cicely Saunders. Dr. Saunders is considered the founder of the modern-day hospice movement, and it was there that Father Louis developed a deep commitment to care for the dying. Returning home to Lafayette following his ordination, Father Louis met with other community leaders and in 1983 helped establish Hospice of Acadiana, Inc., a nonprofit hospice committed to providing quality care at the end of life for all, regardless of their ability to pay for these services. Hospice of Acadiana remains the only nonprofit hospice in our area. They have the longest record of continuous service of any hospice in Louisiana, and since 1983 have served over 24,000 patients and their families. And today we welcome Casey Thompson to the show to talk about Hospice of Acadiana. Casey, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I've enjoyed getting to know more about Hospice of Acadiana. You know, this is something we mentioned before taping. My husband's dad died in 1989, and hospice was a relatively new concept in Louisiana, and he was in Lake Charles, but the kind care and the attention to detail, to the small loving things that people need at the end of life, made all the difference for that family, and I can't wait to have you tell the story.
Well, thank you. We find that a lot. My father-in-law was also a patient of Hospice of Acadiana prior to me being part of the team. And at the time, I thought I understood what hospice was about. And it's not until really becoming ingrained in the organization that I realized all of the resources that are available. And so we really want to make it a point to letting the community know how they can have those resources available for them.
Right.
Because it makes such a tremendous difference when you're going through end-of-life care with a family member or a loved one.
Right. I know you're there because of faith-based reasons. Before we start talking about hospice, would you talk about how you ended up in your position as executive director of the foundation?
Sure. I was currently looking for employment and really was trying to decide what I wanted to do next in my career. I have a marketing and communication background, have done a lot of fundraising, and so was just trying to figure out what angle, and someone approached me and said, "Oh, why don't you talk to Hospice of Acadiana?" And I thought, "Oh, I'm so tenderhearted. I don't know that that would be a really good fit for me." And so I continued my search and continued to pray as to, you know, where God needed me to go. And about a month later, someone else came and said, "I hear they're doing a big restructure at Hospice of Acadiana. Why don't you go check it out?" And I thought, Yeah, no.
It's like a 2x4 right. on the side of your head.
And then finally, Randy Haney, who's a family friend, emailed mm-hmm. me about another month later and said, I just want to let you know, Hospice of Acadiana is looking for an executive director, and I sent your resume in, so you should be getting a call. And at that point, I, you know, was thinking, yeah. And then I kind of stopped and really paused and thought, mm-hmm. maybe this is something that I need to look at. And so, as fate would have it, as faith would have it, it turned out to be just a perfect fit, both for me and I think hopefully for them.
Right.
So it's been great.
Now, nonprofit work can be nonstop. It's continual fundraising and getting the word out, such as we're doing today. I think your cause is relatively easy, you know, for people to feel the tug of their heart. Would you talk about the early history? I gave in the open about Father Louis Richard. He's so well known in our community and so respected. And would you talk about, you know, the history? It's been 36 years. Can you kind of talk about how you got to where you are now?
Sure. So when Father Louis came back, obviously he had been touched by mm-hmm. What he learned over in England, and there was a group of community volunteers, Jewel Lowe in particular, who of course we know was just a firecracker for our community and really mm-hmm. being a voice for the voiceless. And so Father Louis and Jewel Lowe and some of our area physicians all got together, and the stories told that it was a couple of workhorses and an old door was the first desk that they used to really kind of map out what the mission was going to be. Mm-hmm. And that was going to be quality end-of-life care for anyone that was in need, regardless of their ability to pay. Mm-hmm. And so over the years, of course, we've grown. A lot of times people, I don't think, realize the mass of our organization. We have 70 full-time employees.
Oh, my goodness.
We have a full-time medical director and then 300 volunteers and nearly a dozen volunteer physicians. So it's quite a process, an organization
right.
that gets out to support those in need.
But you're not just helping Lafayette. It's is it nine parishes
it is.
That you serve?
We serve a nine parish area.
Right.
It's anyone that's within 50 miles of our physical location or the guidelines set by Medicare. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. that reaches the nine parish area.
Yeah. And so let's talk about when would someone realize or the family realize we might want to call hospice? What are your guidelines for when people would call upon Hospice of Acadiana?
The guidelines are usually looked at with a physician, with their family physician, their primary physician. It's based on if you have a terminal illness or condition that has a prognosis of 6 months or less, if the disease is to follow its normal trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, we have patients that extend far beyond that. We've had
patients
always on our service, you know, for 3 years. But the normal trajectory would be 6 months or less.
Mm-hmm. So they're somewhat certified by their physician or specialist?
The physician will refer them. We have a team of our admit nurses, and so then the admit nurses call, and we go in and do an evaluation, and there are different guidelines mm-hmm. to ensure that they do meet eligibility requirements, and at that point they can be admitted to service.
Are there, you know, do people typically want to stay at home? Do they go to a treatment center? How does it work?
The main goal is always to keep someone at home. That's where they can be the most comfortable typically, and we can have them and their family members together for the time that they have left.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain instances where home care is not available, and so they end up either needing to go to a nursing home, a skilled nursing facility, or a hospital. Unfortunately, right now in Acadiana, we only have one inpatient hospice unit, and so that is one of Hospice of Acadiana's longer-term goals is to build an inpatient hospice mm-hmm. facility for those people that may not be able to remain in the home but don't want to have their last days in a hospital or in a nursing home.
Right, right. And so I guess the whole family gets involved by this point when the decision is made. And,
right. Well, that's one of the things that's so special about hospice, is that hospice is so much more than just medical care. We have a team of chaplains, social workers, counselors that go in. And so it's not just treating the medical condition. Mm-hmm. It's also treating the social, the emotional, the financial. It's really looking for how can we best serve you at this time in your life.
Oh, so there's counseling also. Let's say if somebody doesn't have a will, I mean, do you talk with
Absolutely.
The family and say, where are you in your planning?
Absolutely.
Succession planning.
Yes. And not even so much the succession planning, but if they have relationships that need to be on the mend, uh-huh. for some people, they have a fear of death. And so mm-hmm. it's helping to come to reality with where they are. Some people are angry, and so there are a lot of different emotional and social factors that come into play when a diagnosis is made, both for the patient and the family. And so we help to try to give them some resolution to that
right.
before their time comes.
So some of those 70 employees are counselors,
yes.
psychologists.
Correct. Social workers, mm-hmm. aides. We have pastors, chaplains, mm-hmm. spiritual directors, and then bereavement counselors as well.
Yeah.
We offer one of the other things that I think is very special about Hospice of Acadiana is we offer free grief counseling to the community. So it's not just for patients of Hospice of Acadiana. It's for anyone that's in need of grief mm-hmm. counseling. But in addition to the counseling and the grief that comes after a death, a lot of times we see it before.
Right.
We have, you know, anticipatory grief.
Yeah.
We have complicated grief. And so
regret.
Transition yeah. mm-hmm. for the person that's getting that diagnosis. Will this be terminal? Will this not be terminal? So there's a lot of mm-hmm. a lot of support that's available for people that need it.
When I saw Father Louis' involvement, I thought, oh, it's Catholic. But then I read that there are Protestant ministers
Absolutely.
Involved. It's really for anyone that's
Correct.
Interested
Correct.
In
Any
receiving
denomination,
services.
No uh-huh. denomination. And we want to serve anyone in any way that we can. And so our involvement is as little or as much as mm-hmm. someone needs. Mm-hmm. We talk about, you know, the first thing we're going to ask when we go in is, what are your goals? You know, what do you want this to be? And so our goal is just to support them in that.
Do most people have goals? I mean, have you been involved in the visits? Do you?
I have not. But in speaking, we have an interdisciplinary group meeting every mm-hmm. week where we talk about each patient in detail. And so that's a time where we can talk about different needs that a patient may have. Mm-hmm. For some, it's basic necessities. They're in need of food. They're in need yeah. of clothing. They're in need of medicine.
Yeah.
For others, it's more of they need some counseling. Mm-hmm. They need some help coming, you know, to grips with what they're going through right now.
Right.
And so it's a full spectrum of
right.
needs.
Right. And I saw also, you know, you mentioned the grief counseling. There are so many workshops, loss and transition workshops. And I want you to talk about some of these. Camp Bravehearts, Pet Peace of Mind, and the We Honor Veterans programs. I guess we can start with loss and transition
okay.
workshops. What's that?
Okay, so the Center for Loss and Transition, that's who provides the free grief counseling. We have different workshops throughout the year. So it's not an ongoing. We have individual counseling and mm-hmm. we have support groups, but this is outside of that. So it's more an interactive approach for someone to kind of help them process that grief while they're doing something else. We have holiday workshops. We'll also
oh, okay.
have painting, mm-hmm. Different creative things that can help them use that as a means to work through that
right.
grief.
And then Camp Bravehearts.
So Camp Bravehearts is a two-day camp for children that have experienced a loss. And it's remarkable. We have volunteers throughout the community that mm-hmm. come together, and it's different activities, all fun, so that they understand what, you know, is going on.
Right.
They want to be there, but also help them work through those feelings and realize that they're not alone. A lot of times when a child has a loss, they feel like no one understands or they're different. And so this is for them to be able to see that mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's a common thing.
Right. Okay, Casey, what about Pet Peace of Mind? I saw there was some reference to Loretta Lynn. What is Pet Peace of Mind?
So So pet peace of mind, you know, for a lot of our patients, their pets are their babies. Mm-hmm. And the idea of what's going to happen to their pets after they're gone is very stressful for them. We also want them, our patients, to be able to keep the pet in the home with them, right, as long as possible. But as their health declines, they may not be able to go take their pet for a walk or change cat litter or mm-hmm. get up and feed them. And so we have a team of volunteers that'll go in and take care of the pet so that the pet can stay in the home. And then we also provide permanent placement for the pet after the patient has passed. And so that way they know that once mm-hmm. they're gone, that their pet's going to be with a loving home and be taken care of.
In today's world, that's so important.
Absolutely.
I mean, the pets kind of rule the roost,
yes,
as they say. So that's great. And then We Honor Veterans Program. What is that?
We Honor Veterans Program is one of our most special programs. When someone dies, a lot of times we've seen funerals where the veteran is obviously memorialized, but this gives us an opportunity to go in and thank that veteran while they're still alive. We go in and we present them with a pin. We present them with commendations from our state legislatures and a pillowcase for the family, and let them know that we appreciate the sacrifice that they made and thank them. And so for them, they're very humble often, and so they don't want to be necessarily yeah. acknowledged, but the idea that someone thought of them and remembered mm-hmm. that time and that service that they gave is important for them.
Right, right. Have I covered most of your programming? Mm-hmm. Is there anything that we didn't cover on that?
No, I think we're good.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to get into, before we talk about fundraising, I noticed that Hospice of Acadiana just received a national grant to improve dementia care. Would you talk about that? This was just announced this month, February 2019.
Yes, we just got notification that we were selected from a group of hospices throughout the country by New York University, and it's a 5-year study to really figure out how we can enhance hospice care in dementia patients. Mm-hmm. Dementia patients tend to be a little more challenging than the normal terminal patient, and so it's figuring out what different methodologies can be used to help increase their satisfaction when it comes to end-of-life care. And so they'll be partnering mm-hmm. with us, giving us different learning dialogues. They'll be sharing our electronic medical records. And so it's a really collaborative approach mm-hmm. to addressing this issue, and we're very thankful to be a part of it.
So they still have the same guidelines at this point about the 6 months?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Okay. Now, you had also mentioned, Casey, that hospice is getting into palliative care, which is slightly different than end-of-life care. Would you talk about that?
Sure. Palliative care is designed for patients that have a terminal illness or condition but may not yet be 6 months mm-hmm. from a terminal diagnosis. And so these are for people that may be 12 months out from end-of-life. They may be 18 months out or 24 months out, mm-hmm. but they still have those same complications. It could be symptom exacerbations. They could find themselves with frequent hospital visits, hospital readmissions. Mm-hmm. And so the goal is to go in and provide that full scope of care that I talked about, the medical, social,
right.
To provide it to them prior to that hospice diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And so it's just being an arm of support earlier in the process.
Mm-hmm. And that's just taking off? You're just beginning?
Correct.
This?
Uh-huh. We started Palliative Medicine of Acadiana in January
okay.
of this year. So we're fortunate. We're working with Dr. Dee Dee Luke mm-hmm. and Elaine Wagasback is the nurse practitioner. And so they are now seeing
right.
patients for palliative medicine.
Right. Where are you based? Where's your headquarters?
We're located on Johnston Street, 2600 Johnston Street, next to Albertsons.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And the website is hospiceacadiana.com, so people can look on the website and I'm sure get any information that they need about
Correct.
Contacting you.
Yes, yeah. absolutely.
Well, let's talk about the nuts and bolts of your job, Casey, because this is incredible what Hospice of Acadiana offers, but with 70 employees, hundreds of volunteers, dozens of outreach efforts, I mean, you've got some budgetary considerations.
We do. We have our work cut out for us. Uh-huh. We're fortunate enough that Hospice of Acadiana, like the for-profit hospices, we do bill for Medicare, Medicaid, mm-hmm. and private insurance, but any profits or funds that we receive stay within the organization, so they're reinvested back into patient care. We don't pay out investors or mm-hmm. shareholders or any owners. On the foundation side, our goal is to raise funds to help cover those services and medical care that's not reimbursed. And so that would be anyone that doesn't have insurance, mm-hmm. Any needs outside of what is covered by the insurance carriers, and then also the free grief counseling and the free programs that we provide throughout right. the community. So it's a tall order, uh-huh. but we're committed. We all really believe in what we're doing, and so I think you said earlier, you know, it's not a tough sell.
No.
It's not the work that we're doing.
Touched.
Absolutely. Yeah. The biggest challenge, I guess, is trying to get the word out. Mm-hmm. And so my goal has been, since I've come on, is really to educate people that they can't give to us if they don't know about us and know about the work that we're doing, and invite them to support us.
Right.
And so we've made a really big push to try to do that, to try to get that word mm-hmm. out and let them know what we're doing and why we're doing it.
I mean, no disrespect to the other hospices, but I think people get confused because there are so many for-profit
Absolutely.
Hospices. You were saying there's probably 20
Yep.
or so in this region, but Hospice of Acadiana is the original, the longest-serving, and the only nonprofit
That's correct.
In our area.
That's correct. We have over 20 for-profit hospices, and a lot of mm-hmm. people think that either we're all affiliated mm-hmm. Or they just assume that if you're a hospice, you're nonprofit.
Right.
And
right.
so that's another point of our education, is to really get those mm-hmm. clarifications out there so that people can make a choice, because that's another really important part, is you have a say in who your hospice provider is. Mm-hmm. And so even if you have a physician or a family member or a friend saying, oh, you should call Hospice XYZ, you need to advocate for who you want providing mm-hmm. your end-of-life care, and you absolutely have a say in that.
Can people interview you? Like, do they
absolutely,
call and
absolutely.
Ask you, tell me the deal?
Yes,
what's
we have people call all the time to mm-hmm. find out what's involved, what are the eligibility requirements, what can you provide, what mm-hmm. can you do for us, and then they'll say, okay, we'll call you when we need you.
Right.
So,
right.
yes, absolutely, call and ask. I would encourage anybody to do that if they're mm-hmm. in this situation.
On the insurance end, is this, it's been around now for 36 years plus, I know it's been done in Europe, is this something that's covered without problem by insurance? Is hospice care like getting, you know, a CT scan, or is it considered to be?
It is. Hospice care is generally covered. Like with any insurance claim, there is a lot of documentation that mm-hmm. is required, a lot of restrictions as to who, when, how, and why you submit that documentation. But for the most part, yes, everyone mm-hmm. should be able to be covered.
Right, mm-hmm. right. What are some of the big ways that you raise money? What are your signature fundraisers, and what can people look for
okay.
throughout the year?
Our largest fundraiser, and this is actually going to be the 21st year that we're doing it, mm-hmm. is our Hit the Road with Hospice of Acadiana raffle. We raffle off a car, a camper, and a cruise. And so a $20 ticket, which is very reasonable, mm-hmm. is a way for people to have a chance to win any one of those three prizes. And so, like I said, that's our biggest fundraiser. We kick off March 30th.
Oh, it's coming up.
Yes.
Okay.
It runs through May 19th. Mm-hmm. And this year we've added a 5K memorial run as part of our kickoff, mm-hmm. just a way to include the community in the event. They can come out and see the prizes. We're going to have a band and food. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be a great time.
Yeah. I think our podcast will be out about that time. So that's good.
Okay.
And then I know you just had did you just have a soiree? Or
We did a Night to Remember gala. And the gala is, I would say, less of a fundraising event, although some of my board members would probably cringe if mm-hmm. I said that. But it is a ticketed event, but it's about getting the word out, and it's mm-hmm. about celebrating those that we've cared for, celebrating the people that help care for them, both mm-hmm. our staff and our volunteers, and of course our board members. So I see it much more as a community outreach event. it's nice that we make a little bit of money as well. So,
Yeah, Camille Pavi Claiborne was a guest on the show. I didn't know her before, but she's active with your group, right?
She is. She is our board president. Mm-hmm. She's
adorable.
Nursing background, specialized in hospice care, so it's very, very dear to her heart. Her dad was actually on our services and passed away last year.
Yeah.
So she is very committed to the organization and to what we're doing.
And a talented writer to boot about end-of-life issues. So, yeah, it's a small world, but I think she's a wonderful addition to any group. And what else is coming up? Any other fundraisers throughout the year, or these remain?
We have a new fundraiser that we kicked off, Beer, Burgers, and Bingo.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
We did that in the fall.
No one likes beer and burgers.
Year, right.
Huh? Everybody likes bingo.
Right. I know that. It was a new event that we were trying out, and it was a huge success. Mm-hmm. People just loved it. So this year we're looking for a larger venue, and it was a standing room only event. We had people playing bingo at the bar. So we're excited about that. That'll be in October.
October.
Yes.
Okay. So you've got a busy year.
Yes.
Coming up.
Yes.
Yeah. Gosh. Well, anything I haven't asked you, like anything that you want to get in that we need to discuss?
I would like to share a story, and I just need to figure out the best way, because I think it's good for people to hear kind of some of the realities of what go on.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things when we talked about things that the foundation can fund, we had a patient that had a terrible infestation of bed bugs in his apartment.
Yeah.
And he had nowhere to go. He had no family or friends here. And so the apartment said that they would, of course, treat, but where could he go? Mm-hmm. And so we ended up putting him up in a hotel for two nights so that he could still get care from his nurse and his team, and then be able to have the apartment cleaned and go back in.
Right.
And so I, in talking to one of the nurses, you know, she said, I was just thinking and kind of vocalizing, gosh, I couldn't even imagine, like, to be in that situation, to be dying. Now I'm dealing with having to move out of my home and, you know, the bed bugs. And her response was, ours is to meet them. Ours is not to judge. Mm-hmm. Ours is not to change, but to come in and provide what they need from us where they are in their journey. And I just thought that to be so well said and so profound for the work that they go and do on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we get caught up in that day-to-day that we forget the significance of that.
You know, I guess one of my lifetime heroes was Mother Teresa. And it reminds me of what she'd say, that it's almost easier to do the large things. People can do big things, but very few people are willing to do the small things. And that's what Hospice of Acadiana does.
Absolutely.
Taking care of someone really at one of their lowest points, and to help that gentleman. But that was a safety and a health issue.
Absolutely.
He had to get out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then if you have time for one more
story. I do. That's why we're here, Casey. This is your show.
So we had a homeless patient that was staying at the shelter, and he was a veteran, and so they gave us a separate room for him so that we could get him comfortable, and we did not have any next of kin, anything, and the nurse that had come on was just, she just couldn't imagine that, to have his family not know where he was and to have them, you know, never have that closure. And so she took it upon herself to go through his things, and they were able to find a contact, and they called his daughter. They found her in Houston and let her know that he had been found, and she was on her way. And unfortunately, he declined so rapidly that she did not make it, but she said she was able to relay through the nurse that she loved him, and she said that the closure it provided her was immense, in at least knowing where he was. But the even bigger part of that story was, she said she was so glad that we had not moved him to a nursing home, that he had chosen to be homeless, and he had been homeless for the last 10 years. And so that's where he was comfortable. And so that's where he would have wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that we honored his wishes and not necessarily implored where we thought he needed to be, or where he should be. And then
you gave him an
order.
Dignity.
Exactly. Yeah. And to allow her to see him, the volunteers that are part of our We Honor Veterans program came and stayed with the body until she could get there from Houston so that she was able to at least see him. And so that's a pretty remarkable, you know, that goes beyond just medical care.
Right.
And that's the type of service and resource that we're able to provide in a million different ways, you know, to a million different patients.
Well, I was thinking with 24,000 plus patients, there's probably so many stories, you know.
I could go on forever.
That's another
and
book
ever.
For Camille.
Yes. It's
Thank
amazing.
You. Thanks
Absolutely.
For sharing that.
You know, talking about the stories, I didn't mention our Mission Moments program. We have a program that's dedicated to, it serves somewhat as a make-a-wish for our patients. Mm-hmm. So if someone has something that they really want to do one last time before they go, whether it's a trip to the beach or a meal at their favorite restaurant, but they may not have the means to cover that expense, then we'll go ahead and step in and do that for them. And so while we've had a lot of opportunities to do that, we also help to cover basic needs for individuals too, like I just mentioned. And so we've had to pay rent for people that were getting ready to be evicted to allow them to be able to stay in their homes. But one of the mission moments that I love is we had a patient that was 34, had Down syndrome, and loved Christmas, just loved Christmas and loved Barney and Elmo. And so it was in July, and she was not going to make it until Christmas. And so the nurse came and got her team together and said, listen, I want to do something for this family. I want to do something for this patient. And so we got a Barney costume and an Elmo costume and a Santa and a sleigh and a snow machine. And we provided that family one last Christmas with their child. And so that's the type of thing that we're able to come in and see beyond the illness, see beyond the stress, and try to give you some memories and some comfort when you're going through a very stressful, hard time. So it's those types of moments and those stories that have us all coming back day after day.
Right. That's a great story to share. Thank you.
Well,
we're here with Jason Sikora with Raider Solutions. And Jason, as always, I know you've probably thinking of things I never thought to ask.
I've got all sorts of little notes written down here. First of all, thank you for being here and thank you for all you do. I wanted to break out in tears during both those stories. How do you hold it together?
we sometimes don't, and that's okay. That's okay. That we said this is one of those workplaces that it's okay to cry.
Fair enough.
And so we do. And when somebody's having a bad day, everybody jumps in and supports them, and that's what allows us to go on to the next patient.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you for the pet program. As an owner of many furry and feathered animals, that is
roosters,
amazing.
Roosters, yeah.
I've got hens, cats, fish, dogs.
And we have placed all of those.
Excellent.
And I'm not making that up.
So like my koi pond would be in good hands?
Yes, it would, absolutely.
Excellent.
I don't know about the chickens, though.
No, we have placed chickens,
People love chickens these days. It's a big deal. And you mentioned the dementia care and the grant. I don't think people really understand what that is until you know somebody who has it. My neighbor has it, and it's so sad.
It's brutal.
It is.
It's a brutal disease.
So thank you for that. I wanted to get a bit more into your backstory, though. What is your backstory before you came on? Because we kind of talked about you coming on and then everything that hospice does, but where did you come from?
So I am originally from Lafayette, graduated from UL with a degree in communications and English. I actually started at United Way. I started their Major Gifts and Plant Giving program umpteen years ago. I then moved to Tampa and did marketing for a commercial real estate company, stayed there, and then after we had our babies, decided it was time to come back home. And so I've been home about 12 years and have done business development and marketing for different real estate companies and have done some consulting as well.
Okay. Well, it seems like this was, even though you resisted a bit, it was the path of least resistance to get into this. So
absolutely. This is where I am supposed to be.
So if I want to get one of those $20 raffle tickets, apartments. How do I do that?
You just call or email me.
Okay.
And we deliver.
Oh, sounds good. Excellent. And then for anybody who wants to donate or volunteer, just get more info, what's the best way? Is it the website? Is it calling you guys?
The website is probably the best way. We have all of the information regarding the hospice care. We also have information regarding our different events, so all of those grief events that we talked about, our fundraising events, and then there also is an opportunity to donate online as well.
Excellent. Well, thank you again very much for being here, and Jan, thank you for letting me ask some questions. Yeah. This was a great podcast.
Yeah. Casey Thompson, what a pleasure to meet you and to hear the story, your story, but also what Hospice of Acadiana does. And again, people can go to hospiceacadiana.com to find out everything they want to know, whether they need care or they want to contribute or volunteer. So I encourage people to go there. And I'd also like to thank our listeners of Discover Lafayette. We appreciate your support. Please subscribe. You can go to iTunes or anywhere you get your podcast. We're now on Alexa, and you can hear Discover Lafayette. You can also go to our website, discoverlafayette.net, and you can listen to Casey's interview and about another 85 or so just wonderful community players here in Acadiana. On behalf of Discover Lafayette, I'm Jan Swift.